This is Carol Foster of 2 Timothy 2:15 Resources, and I am so excited that you're going to join me today as we study God's Word. The response new Messianic believers give when asked why they initially visited a Messianic congregation is, "We knew there had to be more." As we study together, we will begin to see that yes, indeed, there has to be more. For additional study aids to assist you in studying along with us, go to our website, sectim.org. When we left our last session, we had just completed our word study on the word Lord, as found in Shemot or Exodus 3:14-15. We spoke about the rule of first usage, which is to search to find the first time that a word or a phrase is used. Let's read Shemot, Exodus 3:13-14, so that we can remain in context. Then Moshe said to God, "Behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' Now they may say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" God said to Moshe, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God furthermore said to Moshe, "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Yitzhak, the God of Yaakov, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial name to all generations.'" God had given Moshe his personal name, indicating that this was not to be a distance acquaintance type of relationship. This is an intimate relationship name that only his people fully understand. This is a name or relationship that will withstand the passing of time from generation to generation to all generations. Until this time, God had a personal relationship with Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, the God of our fathers. But he wasn't personally known to all of the Israelites, even though they were his people. God saw and heard their plight and that they were oppressed. God was concerned about them and what had been done and what was being done to them. God was also going to bring or to lead them out of their affliction and take them into a place of plenty. We'll go back to this milk and honey concept a little later in our study. God wanted more than knowledge of his people. He wanted a relationship. He wanted to care and provide for those that were and are his. Those who believe and have put their trust in Yeshua as the Messiah have the same relationship with God. In Ephesians 2:13-16, we read, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity." We as believers have been reconciled to God, not a Jew nor a Gentile, but into one new man, a thing or being that had never been before. And through this peace was established that we are both now reconciled to God. We are now in a personal, intimate relationship with the Father and his Son. We are able to say along with Moshe that God is everything I need him to be when I need him to be it. Now the rest of that phrase, "The Lord is my shepherd," brings up another question that we need to ask of the text. What is a shepherd? Now, I know that this may sound a little strange, as everyone knows what a shepherd is, but we want to make sure that we are understanding it through the eyes of the writer, who is a Hebrew with a Hebraic mindset, and sometimes our language just doesn't do a word justice. Again, if you are reading this along with me, you will notice the superscript following the word shepherd. It is H7642. Again, using your study tools, we are going to look up this word. We will be developing this definition and description as we continue in our study of the 23rd Psalm, as well as looking up what a sheep needs of a shepherd. Well, H7462 gives us this information. The original word is ra'ah. It's a primitive root to tend a flock, that is, to pasture it. intransitively to graze, literally or figuratively, generally to rule, by extension, to associate with, as a friend. We have discovered that the author of this psalm, David, was himself a shepherd, a son of a shepherd, and was later known as the Shepherd King of Israel. And here in this psalm or poem, he states emphatically, "The Lord is my shepherd." To whom was he referring? David was referring to Jehovah, the self-existent one, the one that wants a personal relationship with us, who has identified himself as the one who has seen us in the midst of our oppression, pain, hurt, and bondage, and is concerned about us, and wants to take us out of our bondage, to care for us, provide for us, and to take us to a place of milk and honey. David wanted to make sure that everyone, including himself, totally understood that there was no other Lord, a person or thing, that was his shepherd. The only shepherd that David acknowledged was the Lord, and it was through that shepherd that all of the care and provision of the 23rd Psalm are identified. Let's look at the consistency of Scriptures as it relates to God and His people by looking at the following verses. We want to know more about God, His promises, what He has done, or His characteristics from these Scriptures. Also, notice what He provides for us as our shepherd. In Psalm 78:52, we read, "But He led forth His own people like sheep, and guided them in the wilderness like a flock." God leads and guides His own people like sheep in the wilderness. The word used here for wilderness is midbar, which means desert or barren place. God is there to lead and guide us. That is His desire, to guide us in and through the desert and barren places in our lives. I don't know about you, but I'm constantly discovering through the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, that I have barren and desert places in my life. There are places in my life where the Lord rules and reigns, but there are also places that through the Ruach, the Spirit's revelation, that I have discovered I'm walking alone. Places that I haven't yet made Jehovah the shepherd over. One of the most recent revelations that God has given me is of an area in which I was still walking in the desert of barren land, was in the area of trust. I thought I had walked out of that desert, but there's still small areas that are keeping me in bondage in the barren and desert land. Once identified, then we can ask the Lord to be our shepherd over these areas. We can walk out of the desert, the barren land of bondage, and into His green pastures of care, love, and guidance. There are no longer the other shepherd in our life, and they are not the good shepherds of our soul. We can walk in freedom and not in bondage. This is a constant walk in progress for all believers. Let's look at some cross-references. Psalms 80, verse 1, tells us, "O give ear, shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned above the cherubim, shine forth." This is the beginning of a prayer of lament and a request to God. The writer of this psalm is petitioning God to return His blessings to His people. The Israelites were once again in deep sadness and under siege. So, to begin his petition, he wanted to properly identify and give the recognition to whom it properly belonged, the shepherd, the provider, the one who was enthroned above the cherubim. Understand that the Israelites had a concept of this position because of the Ark of the Covenant, was the one who would rescue them. Isaiah 40:11 tells us, "Like a shepherd he will tend his flock. In his arm he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes." Isaiah shows us another side of the shepherd. He tells us that the shepherd will tend his flock. He will gather up the lambs in his arms, and he will carry them in his bosom, close to his heart. And he will gently lead the nursing ewes, or those who are providing for others and bringing forth fruit. They're bringing forth young. In that same chapter, and in verse 10, we read, "Behold, the Lord God will come with might, with His arm ruling for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His recompense before Him." Isaiah clearly identifies who this shepherd is. It is the Lord God, and he will come with might. He will rule, and he will bring his reward with him. His reward is those he has purchased or his own. The word Lord used in the scripture is Adonai, Lord and Master, and Jehovah, the self-existent one, the personal name of God. So the Lord and Master, the self-existent one, is coming in might. He will rule and he will bring his reward. This is a statement of the power, strength, and might, and the kingship of God. The other side of Lord God is the tender, merciful gentleness that he will display to those that are his. Jeremiah 31:10 tells us, "Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare in the coastlands afar off, and say, He who scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock." Again, the prophets use the example of a shepherd to tell about God's care and provision, that he is capable of bringing his flock back to himself. He who can scatter can also gather and keep. Jeremiah is speaking to Israel, who had been scattered from their homelands, and now it was time for God to gather them from the corners of the earth to the land of promise. Have you ever felt that you've been scattered by the wind, blown away from your place of belonging, driven out from your comfort, and lost in the wilderness of this world and its stuff? Let's look at another tool for studying the scriptures. This tool is really an organizational one. You'll want to begin to look at what God does and what David does. This worksheet can be downloaded free from our website, sectim.org. Let me reread Psalms 23 and look closer at what David says that God does or is responsible for. If you're studying along with us, you'll want to enter this information into your worksheet. Include the verses that you got your information from. Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Did you notice the difference between what God does or is responsible for and what David does and is responsible for and the benefits that he receives because of that? What was the only thing that David was responsible for in the 23rd Psalm? In verse 1 of this Psalm, we see the only responsibility that has been identified as David's, and it is, "The Lord is my shepherd." David had to make or allow the Lord to be the shepherd of his life. We'll be going into this concept a little later. What does this say to us about God and his relationship to us? The main concept behind this statement is that there is a shepherd and there is a sheep in this relationship. There is an owner and his purchase. This relationship is not equal. So many times in our lives, we have misunderstood our relationship with our Lord, our shepherd, and our owner. We were purchased at a great cost, an extremely high price, one that we cannot even imagine. We were purchased with the very lifeblood of the Creator of the universe, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the only sinless, spotless Son of God, Yeshua HaMashiach. Jesus, the Messiah. God in human form, flesh and blood, feelings and emotions, stepped out of his glory, his position, his throne in heaven, and coming to earth in human form, He told us of his love for us, and he bought us back from the destroyer of our souls. We were purchased, bought, paid for, and the deed signed, sealed, and delivered by the very God who created us. We have a master, we have an owner, we have a shepherd, but it is our choice to determine for ourselves who that shepherd will be. Scripture also tells us there are two different types of shepherds, a good shepherd and a bad shepherd. Let's read the following scriptures and list what you learn about both shepherds. Our first scripture is Ezekiel 34, 8 through 16. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my flock has become a prey, my flock has even become food for all the beasts of the field for lack of a shepherd. And my shepherds did not search for my flock, but rather the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will demand my sheep from them, and make them cease from feeding sheep. So the shepherds will not feed themselves any more, but I will deliver my flock from their mouth, so that they will not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his scattered sheep, so I will care for my sheep and will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the streams, and in all the inhabited places of the land. I will feed them in a good pasture, and their grazing ground will be on the mountain heights of Israel. There they will lie down on good grazing ground, and feed in rich pastures on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will lead them to rest, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, and strengthen the sick. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with judgment. We see in these verses that there are shepherds that allowed their flocks to become prey for the beasts of the field because the shepherds did not protect and care for them. They lacked a shepherd. When one of the sheep, or as it implies here, the entire flock became lost, the shepherd did not go out and search for them. These shepherds fed themselves, but they did not feed their flock. They were self-centered and didn't feel any responsibility or care for the flock. We also read that the Lord was going to bring judgment upon those shepherds. He will take the sheep that they have away from them. They will no longer shepherd a flock. They will no longer be able to feed themselves. They'll be out of a job. He will deliver or save the sheep from being devoured by these bad shepherds. But we see the Lord then tells us what he will do with these sheep. Remember we read that he, the Lord, will take the sheep away from them. Therefore, they now become his sheep. He will search and seek his sheep out. After he finds his sheep, he will deliver them from all the places to which they had been scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day. Now, he's referring here to the circumstances that they, the sheep, were in when he found them. They were in a cloudy and a gloomy day. He will scour the nations, people or other flocks that they may have strayed into, and even as far away as other countries to which they were scattered, and bring them into their own land, their own pastures. He will feed them on the mountains of Israel and the streams, the good land, and the uninhabited places. They will have their own pastures and streams. They will be safe and well cared for. They will have good grazing ground, and they will be able to lie down and rest. They will feel safe, secure, and protected. In the final verse of this passage, we find that not only will he do all of the above, but he will also bind up the broken and strengthen the sick. But we read that there's going to be judgment on those who did not care for the flock, and it will be from the Lord himself. Now, if we are one of his flock, a believer in Yeshua as our Messiah, then this applies to us. In all that we just read, everything is ours if the Lord is my shepherd. You could put your name in place of the word flock. Have you ever considered that the good shepherd is one who has sought you out when you were lost and struggling? He brought you into his flock from where you had roamed. He fed you on his word, and he brought shalom into your soul. He watches over you, and he strengthens you, and he heals our soul and our spirit and our hearts. Let's look at another verse, John 10, verses 1 through 18. You all are probably very familiar with these verses. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things are which he had been saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and I will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I laid down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative, and I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I have received from my Father. Yeshua is describing not only himself as the good shepherd, but also he is describing the bad shepherd, or, as stated, the hireling and the thief. He is the good shepherd. He came so that his sheep will have life and life abundantly. He is the doorkeeper to the flock. And to each sheep individually and specifically, they know the sound of the shepherd's voice. He puts the flock's care and well-being above his own. He leads them. Note he doesn't drive them. He leads them. Now the stranger or the hireling, this is the person who does this for money, profit, or gain. He does not know the sheep. If danger comes, he flees. The sheep will flee from this person as they do not know his voice because he is a stranger. He doesn't know his flock or each of his sheep. He then addresses a thief who also comes to the flock. Our time is up for today, but what we will do is we'll continue when we meet next time. So study these verses, and may you be blessed. Thank you for joining us today as we delved into the beautiful truths of God's Word to indeed discover that there has to be more. I pray that the Word applied to your daily life will bring a deeper understanding of His love letter written just to you. Let me remind you that we have additional study aids to assist you with our studies together on our website. It's secTIM.org. May this day fill you with the love of God, joy, and shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken in your life.